This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour here of Brock and Salk. It's 9 o'clock. In 2.5 minutes, we will be joined by the morning show in Arizona at our sister station, 98.7 FM. That's Doug and Wolf. You've heard them before. We've played a lot of them on our show before, but I don't think we've ever done this. So I'm looking forward to a little simulcast with them. We had so much fun doing this with our sister station in Denver a few weeks ago, and we started piecing it together and said, hey, we can do this with Arizona twice. We can do this with San Francisco and Oakland. That's three games this year with our station in Sacramento. And then what else is it, just that? Maybe there's one other, but that's still pretty good. So we're gonna start with that. Brock is in Dallas in the Metroplex. I'm here. They'll be in Phoenix.
Wow.
And Bruce Arians, unfortunately, is no longer around.
Ran the football, stuffed the run. The lines of scrimmage were one in red.
And that's a bummer to me. I'm not gonna lie. As much as I hated Bruce, I do. This rivalry misses him, doesn't it?
Yes. Much like you miss Jim Harbaugh too.
I do.
Right? And I think it was Danny's point on his show yesterday, on Danny David Moore in the afternoon, saying, man, look at what Pete over a decade here has kind of weathered a few of the different cycles in the NFC West that, you know, came in and Jim Harbaugh was a big bad bully and running the show and, you know, took Tim down and multiple coaches and, you know, and they got bad. And obviously Arizona came in, they were bad. And then Carson and Bruce got good and got to the playoffs and he was coach of the year. And obviously now they're struggling, a new head coach, new quarterback kind of turning the thing over. And even the Rams were dominant kind of in the early 2000s. They went dark for a long, long time. And now after another win last night, 4-0, clearly they're the class, maybe not of just this division, but of the NFC and the NFL. They sure
appear to be that way. We'll see what that looks like over the course of a full season. But yeah, I mean, look, it's not. I'm wondering whether the hatred is still there between these Seahawks and Cardinals, because it was, right?
Well, what's like being the coolest coach in the NFL? I said, it's hard.
I mean, how could you not work up a little anger towards Bruce Arians?
It was just so counterculture, right? He is just dog cussing his players, hard on his players. Just...
And then the ultimate excuse maker.
Like, yes.
My favorite, I'm not going to play the whole no excuses montage, is him complaining about the weather. Well, somehow it only rained and we had the ball. Oh my God, you crazy person. I don't know whether it's that or the one where he says that they got locked in their tunnel ahead of time. Yeah. It's like, dude, come on.
And now their coach is...
I don't know. You keep asking me. I don't remember his name.
That's disrespectful.
It's not. He's some random
Steve
dude.
Wilkes. He's not. He's an excellent dude.
All right. With that, let's welcome in our friends, Brock, as we simulcast this thing. Doug and Wolf. That's Doug Franz and Ron Wolfley in Arizona at Arizona Sports 98.7 FM, along with Brock and Salk here on 710 ESPN in Seattle. Guys, do we have you?
Yes, you have us.
Oh, wow. I don't know that we're prepared for Wolf's voice. Like, you hear it, like, when you're playing sound of them or something, but then when you actually hear it on the air, we're not radio people.
Hey, guys, I cannot tell you, man. I apologize to you immediately.
Why?
Right off
why,
the top
why are
because
you already...
I can't tell you how many times I walk around the basin here in Phoenix, and people come up to me and say, man, I love the stuff you say. I just can't stand your voice. I get it all the time. Yes.
I love it. I think it's fantastic.
Line.
All right. Well, it's good to have you guys, and glad to be on in Arizona at the same time. We'll see how this goes here for about the next 10 minutes. Maybe we'll start by asking you guys some questions, and you can do the same. Is your team as bad as an 0-3 record looks, or has that been somewhat misleading?
Yeah.
Oh, it's misleading. They're worse.
It's worse.
Yeah.
No, they're bad right now. Yeah, they're 0-3 for a reason right now. There's no doubt about it. I mean, again, guys, you can go and look at the offense and, you know, the defense. I would even say the special teams needs to get better. But
it's improved from last year.
When you focus on the offense, guys, number 32 in total yards, number 32 in rushing yards, 32 in passing yards, 32 in interception rate, 32 in first downs, 32 on third down, 32 in points.
Oh, my God.
Think about that for a minute, guys. It's a desert indeed here in Phoenix.
Can you imagine calling those games? Whew, that'd be tough.
Wolf's entertaining enough.
I appreciate that, Brock. Yeah,
that would not be a fun watch.
So we're bad. What's your point? All right? It's not like you guys are rocking and rolling up there.
Do you still hate the Seahawks? Do the Basinites, do the Basinites and the folks down there, when the 12s come in, invade your stadium, have largely taken it over the last few years, 4-0-1, do they still hate when the Seahawks come to town?
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. That's what's – I mean, let's think about this. For years now, and not every year, but for years now, the road team always wins this game. I mean, it just it seems like it's been written in stone. The road team always finds a way to win, so that's what makes it even worse. It would be different if the road team won and the stadium was packed with Cardinals fans, you know, mm-hmm. but then to actually hear it. And then there's this other issue that we deal with here, and we don't understand why this is the case in Phoenix. It goes deeper than just the Seahawks. It's this, you know, like I'm originally from Ohio, okay? Wolf's originally from Buffalo, New York. Almost everybody in Phoenix is from somewhere else.
Isn't Gamble from Phoenix, though? He sounds like it. He's got kind of that Phoenix accent. He was on our station yesterday and said, noin. Gary Delabate is the only other person I've ever heard say that. He said noin.
We have online at arizonasports.com, we have Gambo translation. So you can, so it helps people. But the one thing is, everybody that moves here embraces Phoenix. It's like, wow, this is a great city. And then you're happy to be here. Everybody that moves here from Seattle, and we've got a ton of them, still sit and tell us how great Seattle is. And that's the problem. It's like, well, then go home. We don't want you if you don't embrace Phoenix. And then Seattle's the only city like that. We have so many Cubs fans. I mean, Cubs fans run this city, and yet they all like, hey, I don't want to move back to Chicago. I love Phoenix, but they love the Cubs. Seattle, and you guys can explain this to me, Seattleites move here and then declare that they want to go back, but they don't do it.
But do they move, or do they just kind of rent, right? Don't they just rent for 6 months?
From what I've heard in Seattle, everybody's renting right now.
Guys, let me also say this right here, right? Because honestly, your team, you guys know I loved your team. Brock, I've talked to you about this many times, right? Just the fact you got up, you lined up, and you beat the crud out of a lot of other teams. Physically, whether it was stopping the run with that great defense that you guys had up there for years, the Legion of Boom, of course, or whether it was running the ball yourself. Boy, times have changed for you guys as well, correct?
A little bit, Wolf, you know, but honestly, last week in getting back to some of the basics and running the ball 37 times, throwing it 26 times, that's what they want to do. Like, if they're going to have any success this year, they are equipped and built. And everything they did this offseason, you know, Mike went on a wonderful rant an hour ago about our baseball team in town and some of the wholesale changes that really need to be made there. Well, the football team did. They fired an offensive staff. They got rid of a lot of players. They committed to getting back to being that team that can win at the line of scrimmage. So Sunday, don't be surprised if it is run, trying to really get back to some of the essence of those roots.
Mike, would you like to go on a rant about our baseball team?
No.
We whatever you said, you could replay it for us because it's appropriate.
No, your baseball team goes to the playoffs now and again. Like, our baseball team has been in the playoffs in 18 years. It's quite sad.
Hey, is Rosen likable down there so far?
You know what? I like the kid. He's got a little something coming out of the side of his neck.
The resting rat face that he's got? He's got a little resting rat face. That's what one of our texters said today.
The resting?
Yeah, like his natural face disposition's a little rat-like.
Oh, I see. Yeah, okay, that's great.
Resting rat face.
Well, you know what? Hey, listen, I'm doing radio. You know, I don't throw stones, if you know what I mean.
Fair
right?
point. Hey, absolutely.
I mean, I'm just saying, hopefully not a rat face.
No, but it's more just that he just sort of looks like he's, I don't know, he's got an arrogance to him. I guess that's what it is.
You know, I actually, my biggest takeaway of all of training camp is that Rosen's not a jerk. And I totally thought he was a jerk. And as you get to know him, he does look at you in an arrogant way. He does have an aloof kind of composure to him. And then when you realize he's actually listening to what you say and he really wants to give an in-depth answer, and yet at the same time, it's like I have the confidence not to care what you think, but I want to listen and I want to learn from you. It's a very weird. He's a strange dude. I don't want to protect him in any way, but I actually find myself liking him a lot more. Yeah. I don't know if he's matured a little bit. I've heard plenty of college stories where I could look at it and say, yeah, that's not a good dude, but there's plenty of college stories I hope no one ever hears about me that I'm not a good dude, too.
can he change it? All those 32s that you referenced there, Wolfley, how much of it was on Bradford and how much of a change can he have?
Oh, man, you know, Brock, how it goes. Are you kidding me with a young rookie quarterback? Like, he might go out there and light it up, and he might go out there, and I mean the lamp is broken, period. Who knows what he's going to do, right? I mean, he's going to go out there, and he did provide a spark. There's no doubt. He also threw two picks.
One that counted,
one that counted, and one that did not. Right. That's exactly what I think we're going to see. You're going to see two steps forward, one step back. And, you know, just because you guys have Mr. Perfect up there in Russell Wilson.
I'm so glad you think that, because everyone, like the fans here, every once in a while, Russell has one bad game, and people are like, see? Told you so. There's a group. There's a group. I don't want to say it's everybody, but there's a group that can't wait to tell you how they've been right about Russell all these years, and it's just taken until now to finally show everyone that he's not good.
And you know how this is. There's always a, I hear, we actually work with one down here. There's a guy here that thinks Russell Wilson should replace Peyton Manning and Brady and everybody else as the greatest of all time, and nobody else sees it. There's always a lunatic fringe somewhere.
You guys miss Bruce Arians? Because we do.
Yeah, I miss Bruce a lot. That guy's
crazy. Why do you miss Bruce?
Because he's totally insane.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Because he's right the biggest whiny excuse maker of all time. And
he
then he
was not.
Yes, he was. We have a whole montage of all of his excuses. The weather was only bad when our team had the ball.
You know what he used
we got
to
caught
do?
In the tunnel and the game started
the
late.
The truth. That's what he did.
Bruce Arians is a big-time excuse maker.
You are.
He is.
Honestly, you're. That's the stupidest
thing
I've ever
heard. I know
you
guys have to go to break in 30 seconds. Unfortunately, our excuse-making montage is 2.5 minutes long. So I can't play you the whole thing. You just don't have time for it.
Well, hey, sometimes, Sock, it's a reason. It's not an excuse.
Of course, if he was making excuses about the Seattle weather, I would completely support him.
He had rain in Miami. Remember that game? They had rain in Miami?
And but only when they had the ball.
Right, only
it
when
was
the
weird
it was
thing.
So sad. We couldn't win. The rain kept coming up when we had the ball.
Love
Miami obviously controlled the weather. We know you guys got to go.
Love you guys.
Hey, we're going to do this again, hopefully at the end of December before these teams play again. They'll do it this weekend. They are Doug and Wolf.
Sock,
we are
you'll
Brock
do it when I tell you.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That went right over my head. We got to go. See you guys. It's Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle and Doug and Wolf on Arizona Sports 98.7 FM. There they go. That last shot went right over my head, Brock. Didn't even catch it.
He kept calling you Sock.
I know.
What's up with that?
Well, he sounds like Jesse Ventura. Give the guy a break. We got a lot of people who think he sounds like Tungus. We had a lot of people.
Whoa! Tungus Tingly.
Wolfley sounded like Tungus. Do you think he does? You think he sounded like Tungus?
You heard Wolfley talk about stuff.
What all this?
Oh, you haven't seen a new fresh section yet? A
lot of great options.
Of course. There's rabbit treats, morning ice cream, plant nachos, elongated burgers.
You mean veggie sticks, yogurt parfaits, salads and subs. Tomato, tomato, right?
Oh, you mean ketchup ball.
Isn't that Wolf?
A lot of people also thinking he sounds like this guy.
I'm hiking the John Muir Trail.
Jabbar.
I'm riding my bike from Oregon to Mexico. Jabbar. I'm going to get this guy. Let's go.
Tungus gotta go.
Love Wolf.
It's hard to know which guy he is, right?
No!
It's such a bummer they're 0-3, and they couldn't, like, really fire much back.
I know. They think they're worse. But, like, how do you tell the difference between that guy and Ron Wolf?
You know what, Doug? Shut up.
They sound really similar. Like, he's sort of angry Tungus.
Are you done?
Am I?
Yeah.
Look, I thought everything was going fine until they denied that Bruce Arians is an excuse maker.
Right.
That's a load of garbage.
Well,
Arians is an excuse maker.
I'm going to guess the RRF is also probably going to make their airwaves a little bit.
The what?
RRF, the resting rat face.
Oh, well, that's not mine. That's some text message.
Right.
I didn't say it.
Right.
I don't think it's true at all.
You definitely said it. You said it several times.
Well, a text messenger said it. I just, like, kind of repeated what the texter said.
Yeah, like several times.
Lydia, how could you hear with your head down and your hands over your ears and your
really?
Headphones off? You couldn't even hear what we were saying. You don't know what we were talking about.
Oh,
you couldn't listen.
Lydia, has this been one of the top three hardest days for you to ever work our show?
I love working here, but
I know
this
you do.
Is, yes, is I've confronted a lot of my fears today. Confrontation.
The Rosen, just
mean
just name faces. Yes. The Mariner takedown, just the emotional, like, oh, these guys aren't good enough. It's been just, I can imagine. I'm feeling for you.
Thanks.
But this has got to be one of the most challenging days that you've ever had to run
they
the board.
Do you think
Bruce
Arians doesn't make excuses? Really?
Every year in the NFL, it's a new team. As far as goals go, we have one. Putting a f-ing ring on our finger. Not a Super Bowl, a Super Bowl ring. You go to win the last year, this football team was sitting at 9-1, playing for the West Championship. Didn't get it done. No excuses. Nope. Didn't get it done.
You know, I was a little disappointed because we were ready to come out of the locker room and take the field when we were told there's a 5-minute delay.
Oh. No excuses.
Rain is one thing. Pouring down, talking about the balls is another. When it continually pours when you have the ball, which was kind of odd. It's tough.
No excuses.
He definitely touched him. You know, I'll talk to the league and we'll get some kind of explanation that's all like normal.
No excuses.
You got basically your fourth or fifth guard in there and he's fighting his we can't hear and then he's on the road and it's 2-minute drill.
No excuses.
And it's a failure in progress.
No excuses.
There you go. There have been a few excuses.
Yeah,
right?
Hey Kyle. I know you have the Kyle. I know you got the difficult job of having to talk to these guests after we let them go. You know, at times you can be put in a tough situation. Do you think you could send that to them? You think there's any way we could send that to them?
Yeah, I can send that to them.
Okay, because I don't think that they believe that Arians was an excuse.
We could send that over. We just didn't have enough time.
We played that for them one time, and I remember we played the sound, and all their text messages said, Seattle's right.
Oh, really?
After playing the sound, Seattle's right. They just evidence that Bruce Arians is full of excuses.
They should have gone Richard Sherman on it and said, well, there's no evidence of that.
Sources say nobody really knows.
Nobody really knows. Who knows what's really sad?
Man, Richard Sherman would have been a great pairing with Bruce Arians.
Oh, can you imagine?
Been awesome.
Oh, such a great pairing. A
couple of excuses. Ah, man. Okay. I love the Bruce Arians stuff. I miss that guy. I'm
so the Seahawks get after these guys Sunday? You think they get after Rosen?
I mean,
Rosen?
Brock, if they don't, the way those guys just set it up, 32nd in every relevant statistical category in the NFL, if you don't, it's really going to look bad on you, right?
I would feel a lot better if it was coming here. If that whole
routine, they always lose here.
But as far as this rookie quarterback, it's been Carson Palmer. Carson in last year, it wasn't Carson at the end of the year, but largely Carson won three of those games and threw the ball down the field, pretty darn good.
And
courage.
By the way, they win that game here, were not for Blair Walsh. I mean, he misses the kick.
Correct.
At the end.
Correct. So I think I would feel better about the D line getting after them after the worst O line as you saw Sunday. The difference with Frank Clark and your crew at home. That is the crew defensively that benefits. If there's any home field advantage, and I think I've grown in this in 10 years of watching these guys, and especially in that building, like if there's one area where 68,000 of you crazies make the biggest difference, it's plugging into the D-line. And they get 5 sacks as a group. They hit, harass, they get after the quarterback. And it's just harder to do that on the road. You don't get the noise advantage. You don't get the energy and everything to plug into. So I hope they get after Josh Rosen. I'd feel super confident if this game was in Seattle Sunday. And I don't know if Rosen would be starting this Sunday in Seattle. They may have still run out Bradford. Mm. But I bet in their estimation, it's like, okay, as far as D-lines go, the first 2 weeks of this season, that group on the road did not bring it and did not look anything like they did at home. And this may be the landing spot for Josh to get it going. And, oh, by the way, a group defensively doesn't bring a lot of blitzes, keeps it pretty simple, can find completions, right? There are going to be checkdowns. There's going to be completions. This guy likes to get completions. And, I think that they picked this game for a reason, being at home and playing against a group that they feel they can do some things against.
I'm honestly a little surprised they didn't start Mike Lennon. I'm not joking because I just listening to more Gambo the other day and kind of making his points about what they wanted to do with Rosen, they wanted to make him sit for at least half the season.
Yep.
But now they're going to start him in week 4?
So did the Browns and so did the Bills. So did all of those teams. They wanted to sit there.
The Browns have enough talent and did it early enough in their year that they had an opportunity with Baker Mayfield to still win this.
Well, Arizona's got Larry Fitzgerald and
Brock,
a good defense.
Hold on. And they had a guy get hurt, and they don't have another guy with NFL veteran experience. They had already said he was their backup.
True.
In this case, you have Mike Glennon, who you've paid for some unknown reason. Why wouldn't you go with Glennon after that?
If the Seahawks, if you're rooting for a Seahawk win Sunday, who do you want to see under center for Arizona? Would you rather see Bradford and the struggles that he had with that group, but knowing that he's a veteran guy?
No, that's not the point. It's not whether or not it'll help them win this game. It might. Mm. But it's whether or not it's going to be good. If you're Arizona, from your standpoint, this game doesn't mean anything. The long-term, the only thing that means anything to the Cardinals right now is the long-term development of Josh Rosen.
Yes.
That's it.
In that position?
So the Browns are different. The Browns actually have an opportunity to maybe even win their division this year and have a good season with Baker Mayfield. I don't know what the Bills are doing, but they're the Bills. Who cares? The Cardinals, for the only thing that matters to them is the long-term development of their quarterback. And if they viewed that as saying he'd be best off sitting for eight games, why then pull the red shirt after three?
Yep.
I don't get that.
32, 32, 32, 32, 32, 32. Lifeless,
so
lifeless,
what?
Lifeless.
Your goal isn't, you're not going to win anything this year.
Yep.
Your goal, whatever, they're a bad organization. Yep. So to see that go that way is not a big surprise. You actually need a head coach. And since they don't have one that anybody's heard of, how do you
his name is Steve Wilkes. Everyone else has heard of him.
Steve Wilkos. He came from the Jerry Springer show.
Right.
They hired him. They saw, like, this guy's got muscle. He doesn't take any crap from anyone.
Exactly. He's right here yelling at welfare moms or something.
Well, I hope that this group in Seattle that's got a lot of young guys defensively, I really hope that they come out and play with that same edge and really borderline desperation they played with last Sunday.
Yeah.
That's what I really hope. And I'll be watching it more than anything else. You know, that and I've always said that, but you know, you want to judge the energy of a team, judge it at the line of scrimmage, especially defensively. And do those guys, does Frank Clark play as hard as he did, Mike? You know, you said it after that game, like, wow.
Best game I've seen him play.
Yeah. You know, and he's got three sacks, and he's out there retweeting tweets that it's only, him and Khalil Mack over the last 3 years.
Can you do that on the road?
Snaps per snap, you got to do it. He's got to do it. You know, that group has to have the maturity to do it, to get to 2-2 and make a Rams game a whole lot bigger if you find yourself at 2-2.
A bunch of text messages coming in. Everybody jumping on the fact that Ron Wolfley kept calling me Sock. I don't know how I feel about that.
Big Sock guy.
Big Sock guy.
Listen here, Sock.
What's the deal with Sock? I get it when I was in Boston.
You think when you got that kind of, you think when
L.
you got that kind of base, it makes it harder?
It's hard to get the L in there.
Yeah. I think that there's probably something to that.
It's hard to get an L in there.
Maybe it got worse, like progressively worse, as soon as you started, I don't know, bringing up like resting rat face.
It seemed like there was more emphasis.
It was getting boring.
I think you would get in a fight with Wolfley.
Tungus gotta go.
Right? I mean, I think people.
You and Wolfley would totally fight.
You think so?
Oh, I know.
Well, it doesn't
so.
Take much from what I'm told. All you got to do is suggest things go over his head. Everybody thinks he sounds like Tungus.
Whatever, Sock.
So hot.
Tungus, what are you doing?
Tungus at compliment bar.
It's a condiment bar.
No.
Get beefy with two all-natural cheeseburgers for just $3. A.M.P.
Tungus!
No.
Whoa! Tungus tingly.
Tingly? What's wrong with Tungus? We got a text here about Wolfley. Hold on. I like this one. Wolfley sounds like his face is blurred out and his voice has been changed to protect his identity. That's true. I like it, man. I think those guys do a good job. We always listen to them when we're down in Phoenix.
Yep.
And Wolf does have an entertaining voice. There's no doubt. He does sort of sound like that. Like maybe you can't see him and he's maybe going to head off to witness protection.
Do you think he knows it's Salk and he just was purposefully screwing
it
up?
I don't know. I doubt it, right?
Brock and Sock.
Tungus gotta go.
So do we. We'll be right back with an update on Doug Baldwin. Pete Carroll has given us a key as to whether he's going to play or not. Here from Coach next. I'm Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Yeah, a lot of good text messages here on Wolf calling me Sock. Maybe because your sweating armpit makes you smell like a gym sock.
Mm.
Could be.
Yeah.
It's totally a possibility.
Yeah.
There's a few others. Anyway, is this a trap game? Ask the question, Brock. Let's answer that in just a moment. You just heard Stacy say that Pete Carroll is ready to give up the information on Doug Baldwin, and it sure sounds like he's going to be back.
He looked great. He looked great. He was explosive. The suddenness that we have come to love in his play was there. Caught the ball great. You could just feel he and Russ hooking up on different stuff. Russ was so confident throwing him the football on his routes. So we're really excited for him to play in playing this game.
That's really good news. He said that to Danny, who was filling in for Dory Monson for that interview on 97.3 FM, our sister station here in Seattle. If Doug's back, what we talked a little bit about what that does to change their their offense.
Mm-hmm.
How good can Doug be with now two problems, one on each knee?
Oh, I actually think he's going to have pretty fresh legs.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, remember he had a lot of training camp, you know, off, obviously, with that other knee that was bugging him. He said it will never quite be 100% this year, so he's going to have to deal with a little bit of that. But everything else should be peak, ready to go, should be in some great shape. And he's hungry to get back on this field, man. You felt some of that emotion from him last week with that outburst. You know, he was asked about that yesterday as well, and didn't go into any great detail other than he's a highly competitive dude. And by the way, he has had enormous plays in that building, right? We played the highlights of Russell, and he's included in one of them. And you know, he has teeth kicked in the first start of Russell's career, right? He lost his two front teeth diving for a near touchdown at the end of the game, and he's been a weapon against these guys. And you will feel his presence because, you know, Wolf asked us, like, well, you guys used to be a run team and stop the run. No. That's what they want to be. That's what they got back to last week. And to be a run team, you got to be good on third down, and that's where number 89 comes into play.
Yeah, no, I think that could be true. I just worry about it. I mean, Doug's game is so much about quickness and so much about what he does off the line. If both of his knees are not 100%, can he do all of that? And if he can, they need him, man, for what he does, not just for Russell, but what he does for Tyler Lockett.
But I don't think
he's
playing.
For the position he puts in
not.
Brandon Marshall. I mean, all those things.
Yeah, I don't think he's playing if he's compromised. Right, and that's nothing against him. He's one tough hombre, man, as tough as it gets on this team, both mentally and physically. But I don't, and I think that's what I hear in Pete, too. And so what Pete said Wednesday, like, yeah, man, he looked pretty good Wednesday. Well, how did he respond yesterday? Yeah, looked pretty good again yesterday. And you kind of build day after day, make sure there's no swelling. That's usually when you're coming off an MCL or one of those knee injuries. You want to make sure there's none of that. If there was, he's not, like, playing through that. I don't think you're going to see that because they're going to...
Well, then good. Then that's. I mean, that should be a major, major victory then for the Seahawks to get him back in the lineup. As we said, not just what he does for Russell and the routes that he runs, but he puts Tyler Lockett into his best spot.
Yep.
He puts Brandon Marshall into his best spot. Some of those routes they're running, either Lockett or Marshall last week, are just things that Doug runs better, and it allows those guys to do what they do best.
That's
so
right.
I'm looking forward to that. That should be a boon to this offense. You get Justin Britt back. That should help the offense. Hopefully you can go out and play the kind of power football that you want to play against an Arizona team that isn't very good.
No, they're not good, but they still got people that rush the passer. They have, you want to talk about desperation, at 0-3, I mean, now your rookie comes in, you're playing the desperation card, right? Sam Bradford, you know, making $16 million bucks this year, as Gambo said to us yesterday, he's not going to make his $4 million in incentives of being active and starting games, but he's still making $16 bucks, and they said, that's okay. We've reached such a point here of crisis and are so inept offensively that we are going to go with our top 15 pick here and make this thing happen. And you're going to get, I think, their most desperate, you know, effort. And on top of that, you know what else I like about this is with Fluker and with Sweezy and with Britt and with Dwayne Brown, you have an O-line that has a chance to not be mocked and laughed at and harassed the way it has in this matchup the last two or three years. Mm. I mean, it was Arizona and then followed right there by the Rams, those two groups in your division. And the 49ers even did last year, beating, you know, against the Seahawks up in Seattle, laughed at what you're throwing out there. Like, good luck on that. I mean,
right.
These guys are sloppies. They got no chance of blocking us and no chance of stopping us. And I kind of love the fact that, you know, Sweezy's going to start left guard, Big Flukes a right guard, Britt, Dwayne Brown, that you get a chance to impose a whole different physical will and lineup and matchup against them, too.
Yeah, I would agree. It's funny when you start saying it that way. 60% of your offensive line is new and different this year, right?
Yep.
I mean, you just okay with J.R. Sweet and Fluker was a difference maker a week ago. I thought. I mean, they looked at their best when he was moving a pile forward and he was taking on his guy and driving him forward. He's not a long distance sprinter or anything close to that. that, but in a small phone booth, as you like to say, that guy's going to win.
Well,
most
I mean, look at the right side of your line then. You know, Fetty, who, by the way, played one of his better games as a Seahawk last week as well. You did not hear DeMarcus Lawrence wreaking havoc in his name over and over and over again, and he hit him in the mouth. And so you line up from that side. Britt is a physical guy and wants to be. Then you go Fluker. Then you go Fetty. And then you go Will Disley at 270 pounds. Those edge guys where Arizona's dominated this game and love to dominate it and love to dominate this matchup or just collapsing the edges and suffocating the pocket and hitting guys in the backfield as the ball is being handed off, that's a little different amount of size and force and in a background to run the ball than you've certainly had in any recent years.
So they win this one?
I think they do. I don't think it is a going away. I don't think it's easy. I think Rosen finds completions. I think Larry Fitzgerald is going to do all he can. He, too, has liked this matchup with the Seahawks.
True.
And, you know, and has been very productive in the slot against them. And I think they're, you know, they're going to, because I don't think Pete looks at this one and says, let's just blitz this guy. You know, let's just go out there and sack him five times and try to get him to throw five picks. I think this is one that Pete looks at the overall game of offense, defense, and special teams and says, much like against Dallas, if we don't give the game away and we don't give up big plays, we're going to be awfully hard to beat.
Can they confuse him a little bit? That's the thing I always wonder about with the Seahawks. They don't seem like their defense makes much of an attempt to confuse you.
No. Nope.
And with a rookie quarterback making his first start, a guy with major talent, obviously, but also the possibility of maybe folding if you can get into his head a little bit, will they make much of an effort to confuse him?
The confusion will just have to come with the speed with which you do things, the speed with which you rotate coverage, the speed with which Bobby Wagner hits an A-gap blitz. You know, they're just not your Star Wars defense that all of a sudden Rosen's going to be before the snap like, whoa, what am I looking at? They are a post-snap harassment.
But is there an opportunity to do that once or twice per game? I guess that's what I mean. I don't need them to be Star Wars.
Sure.
But are they? Is that even in the cards for them to just sort of say, hey, you know what? We're going to mix it up here, and this guy's going to not expect this at all. This is something totally apart from our norm. And is that enough to maybe screw him up a couple times a game?
It could. And I'll tell you, a little bit last week, they didn't play a few of those cards in the first quarter.
Mm.
Right? They didn't just wait till the third and the fourth quarter to play a card or two. And that's Ken Norton's nature. A lot more than it was Chris Richard or maybe even Gus. You know, Dan's probably a little bit more like Ken in that way. That he wants to get after the quarterback and be very aggressive. So, you may see some of that. But more than anything, you've got to see violence, man. You've got to see it. I loved Wolf's question to us right there. Like, well, you guys used to be. And he's right. You know, he and I have talked an awful lot through the years about how physical and intimidating those NFC West was with teams that wanted to establish that. And they went a step in the right direction last week. Pete Carroll after the game. Big Kyle, you got that sound? After the game. Yeah. Talking about, you know, getting back to the essence of who they are in the formula of the wins.
Let's remember how this worked. It worked by the whole team playing together. That's how championship winning football is all about. We've been doing this for a long time. I know I've said that a lot of times to you. That's exactly the formula. It don't matter who we play. This is how we play. This is what we do. Let's make sure we capture this. It's too freaking important. Let's capture exactly how this happened and just keep on recreating it one week at a time.
Let's go make it happen. Let's go. Hawks on three. One, two, three. Hawks!
Now, I'll tell you what else in hearing that, too, and kind of capturing that. And we were a little hard on Penny the other day, and he is a rookie. But you play on a fast track, and this is a group that I think you're going to want to run the ball. Would not surprise me at all to see Penny get out, right? Or Chris Carson, you know, a beast mode-esque run to just break a tackle. You know, and just last week especially, Carson was two or three runs away from instead of a 7, you know, into a 37. And, man, that would be just, you know, exactly what this team needs. Be awesome.
All right, man. It's going to be a fun weekend. You got the Utah schools both up here, BYU at Washington tomorrow night. You got Utah at Wazoo tomorrow afternoon. And then the Seahawks in the desert. Their third of four games on the road to start this year, which means you got a couple extra home games coming later in the season. Win this one, get to 2-2, and then you take your chances against the Rams and go from there. I think it's a huge game for the Seahawks. I saw some people suggesting it's a trap game. I don't think so. At 1-2, you're not good enough for a trap game. If you were 3-0 and the Rams were 4-0, you might be able to have that argument. But at 1-2, can't be a trap game. No way, no how. Tell you what, we're going to answer your question. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. It's been an emotional Brock and Salk show today. A lot of feelings expressed. So we're ready for any question you got to finish up the week. 710-710. You text, we answer next. I'm Brock and Salk.
This is Brock and Sox. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's do this. We answer your questions every day at the end of the show, 945, 710, 710. Powered by Coors Light is how it works. I really like this first question, Brock. I've been thinking about it here for a few minutes.
Okay.
If you could start a sports franchise in any city that doesn't already have a professional sports franchise in it, what city would you choose?
Wow.
Austin, Texas.
Absolutely my answer as well.
Yep.
I think they're getting MLS, but they don't have anything yet.
I'm going there in November. I can't wait to kind of do a little research on this there.
What's the research?
On just Austin in general. See whether or not they need a pro sports team.
It's hard because you'd have to play everything inside. That's the only thing.
Is it that hot in Austin?
It's pretty darn hot.
Really?
It's pretty south.
I mean, but you could do that as a basketball or hockey team.
Sure, oh, yeah. You could have a winter sport, but then also just considering the culture and the fan base, it's also just not...
Right.
A winter sport really type of place. Right. It's almost like Portland. So maybe a basketball team could work.
I'll tell you another one just as a fan base is Birmingham. Mm. Down south, they call Birmingham like the new Atlanta. Right. And it's really growing and it's got some culture, some food. And as far as fan bases go, it is when you look at ratings for college football, but even outside of that, it is enormous. Birmingham
is the ninth largest U.S. city without a pro sports team.
Yeah.
You want to know what's ahead of it?
Yeah.
Number one on this list is Riverside, San Bernardino, Ontario, California, the Inland Empire, the 909, the IE.
Okay.
But
close to where my dad's from.
They're also already, I mean, they're close enough.
There's 62 pro teams right around them. So next.
Vegas is number two, but they're getting one.
Yeah. They got one. They got the NHL.
Austin is third.
Okay.
Fourth is Virginia Beach, Norfolk, Newport News, Virginia.
Yeah.
But they're close enough to D.C. or Atlanta.
Yeah, okay.
Providence, Rhode Island, but it's a suburb of Boston.
Right.
Louisville, Kentucky.
Yeah, I got the Derby.
Yeah.
Well, and I was recently there, and I was talking to some people actually who work in sports radio. They are so obsessed with college sports that it just almost doesn't. They just don't want to talk about it.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
Richmond, Virginia is number seven.
Okay.
Hartford, Connecticut, number eight. Long live the Whalers.
Yep.
Number nine was Birmingham. Number 10, Rochester, New York. Getting a pro sports.
No, thank you.
Rochester makes Buffalo look palatial.
You saw yesterday Carolina, the hockey team, is going to wear the Whalers unis twice.
Yeah, I did. I haven't talked to Heather about that. I got to ask her.
Oh, man.
You know they play, I mean, Heather is a huge Whalers fan.
Yeah.
So
you know who else is?
Tom Walsh.
Jimmy Zaroli, who was in last Friday, my producer, like to the nth degree. He was so mad about
that.
Really? But it got me thinking. I almost tweeted, like, the five best logos. Like, that is one of the five best logos in the history of professional sports.
And probably the greatest theme song a sport team has ever had.
Yes. Played at Jim Zaroli's wedding, by the way.
Played at my wedding, too. Heather made it our cake cutting song.
Really?
Yeah, Brass Bonanza.
That's great.
Yeah, there it is.
That is one of the... So I was thinking, do you have a top five logos? Any pro sports team, just the logos. Because that Whalers, that tail.
It is so
just
cool with the H and the W and the whale. It's
phenomenal.
Pretty awesome. And the weird green.
Phenomenal.
Great uniforms, great logos.
I put Raiders way up there.
Yeah, it's good.
The silver and black
I hate them, but I've always liked the Philadelphia Flyers logo.
Okay. I could see that. Could see that.
Even as a Cardinals fan, I have always loved the Cubs. Everything about the Cubs. I've loved the Cubs logo. I love
Keep
the bear.
Simple.
I love the C. Everything.
You can't say that out loud.
I can.
Like the Bears
I'm just
logo?
A defiant one. The Bears? Yeah. Chicago Bears? Yeah. I do. I like simple or old school.
Mm. Tell you what else? The Longhorns. Texas Longhorns. Just some of the simplicity of that.
I mean, Penn State's still going to win on all that, though.
Anyhow.
Just keep it simple, man. Blue and white. Nothing on it. Hard to beat Penn State. Let's see what else we got from you guys. Jerks, who is your favorite non-Seahawk player to watch?
In the NFL?
Yeah, I'll usually go Drew Brees. I love Drew Brees.
And I think that question comes because a lot of people would say Larry Fitzgerald, who's unbelievably classy and a total warrior.
He's not.
I don't like him.
That's not true.
Yeah,
it's a football player. Is a football player. He cares about all that.
I'm loving Juju Smith-Schuster right now.
Oh.
He's just a fun... I just feel like he loves football.
So, like, when he catches a pass, Are you happy for him or mad because Ben Roethlisberger's throwing?
I don't like Ben Roethlisberger. That's almost like I think I like him more because that's who his quarterback is, and I'm like, wow, I'm sorry for you.
He needs a little extra.
He's just fun. He's fun on social media. He's fun. Like, he's just what, you know, when they say make baseball fun with these personalities, he's that type.
Carson Wentz.
Jalen Ramsey, too.
Like Carson Wentz a lot.
Antonio Brown. The Steelers got some Le'Veon Bell. They got some guys that are fun to watch.
Yeah, they do. It's too bad Ben's their quarterback. Ben's actually pretty fun to watch. I don't like him. Like, I always root against him, but he's really fun to watch.
He's an amazing player.
If I didn't hate Ben so much, I would love him. I love the way he just stands in the pocket, has people draped all over him, and then just finds ways to throw the ball. He's pretty incredible.
Next question.
San Diego doesn't have any pro sports teams left, do they? Oh, the Padres. Sorry.
Well, we say that now, but we got our butts kicked by them, so maybe we should.
You know. And the Raiders are moving there next year. Get ready.
Can't wait.
Or at least they want to.
How silly is all that?
It's ridiculous.
It's so stupid. Jerks, how often do you write a check?
A lot?
Never.
I had to find my checkbook the other day because I had to write the first check I've written in 12 months.
Yep.
I use my app for everything.
I write my checks for my property taxes. Yep. Save from credit card processing fees.
Really? Yep. I'll take the credit card processing
fees. It's like $50.
It's not. 50. It's like $2.
That's a lot. It's a percentage.
I use the.
You don't even know how much money you're spending.
I use the auto checks from the app of my bank.
Kayla and I don't even have a checkbook, joint checkbook. Wow. We had to go find an old checkbook of hers 2 days ago
to write a
transfer
check.
Money somehow into this outdated account that nobody uses.
Right.
Yeah. Mm.
Interesting.
Checks. What are you talking about?
Oh, I know.
Okay. Well,
every once in a while, someone's like, "Oh, can I get a canceled check?" Like, no.
What?
No, I don't have one.
Next question.
Old school.
Jerks, do you think the run game was kept on ice until Fluker came back? You think Fluker changed up the run game?
Like, kept on ice? Like, they just didn't want to show their hand?
Yeah, like, they didn't want to run until Fluker was here.
I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Firm no on that.
But when a 370-pound Goliath runs by you out the tunnel to begin the game and wants to run the ball and has an energy and a spark and just a love to do it, I think it helps.
A bunch of text messages. New NHL team here should be the Orcas, black and white uniforms. That's actually one of the better suggestions I've heard.
Okay.
Would you go Orcas or Killer Whales?
Either one. How could you not like Larry Fitzgerald? Pretty easily. Wazoo has a pretty cool logo. Wazoo's logo is one of the best.
Well, the best. Voted the best in college sports.
Yeah,
but Brock
it's right
said
there.
Pro, so I was okay, trying to just enough. Stay
But
quiet.
Then he said the Longhorns.
I didn't want to be that
Wazoo's
guy.
Is awesome. The fact that they changed the C to a U is also pretty cool.
Not just a quick little 45 degree, just a little tilt.
That's amazing how that happened.
Yep. Hey, wake up early tomorrow, Sulky.
For what?
Watch a little A&M Arkansas.
I can't. I got my guy's night out tonight.
That's
not happening.
All right. Kyle, I know you will. Up. Kyle, I know when I go on the air.
I'll be watching, Brock.
I appreciate it.
We'll be watching from the trailer in Pullman.
I know you and Lydia will watch it. I appreciate that. I can feel you guys' presence.
How was today?
Fantastic.
I feel like a new human being. I feel like I let the world off my shoulders today. If you were listening at 8 o'clock, thank you for listening. Thank you for indulging me for 20 minutes. I feel so much better.
Good.
I've been keeping this in for too long.
You feel lighter. Like you were feeling bloated and kind of heavy.
Yeah.
You feel lighter.
I might go get myself a bro tank. I feel so thin.
Yeah.
Let's borrow one from Brady.
Let's bro tank this up for the weekend. How's that sound?
You got your guys night tonight. Go bro tank.
Maybe we'll go bro tanks at the guys night. Yeah,
borrow Wassel's chain. Borrow Brady's bro tank. You can go out of the town.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And G's everything else. All right, we gotta get out of here. I hope that all three teams win this weekend. And when we come in Monday morning, it's a party. See you guys Monday morning at 7 a.m. Pete Carroll at 9:30. Until then, the hay.
Barn.
See you, everybody.
Yes. How are you and Brock doing? Brock getting along. A role play group? What would a role
Tungus gotta go.
Get to the chopper!